Hello and welcome to Questioning Fashion, where we question our relationship with fashion while exploring its joys and its many issues. I'm Joanne Gambale and I'm a sustainable stylist.
And I'm Ali Digley. I own a vintage dress hire shop called Bell Street in Sydney, where we are recording today. And today we are asking, are we doing enough? So we have been talking for, 12 episodes maybe now, about sustainable fashion. Yeah. And our philosophy has always been, no one's perfect, everyone should do what little things they can.
Yeah.
And we still absolutely stand by that.
Yeah.
I think more we're talking about us personally.
Definitely.
And we've had, because I've just come out of Fashion Week, you've come out of a week of being very sick in bed and alone with your own thoughts a lot.
Absolutely, overthinking everything, yes.
We're on the, we're 10 years on from the Rana Plaza disaster. We also taught a council workshop last week where we were talking a lot about sustainable fashion with people, and you've been doing a lot of research for that. And I think there's just been a few things lately where we've been really thinking about, I mean, we're always thinking about this, but what I've realised after the last few weeks is you and I doing this podcast, me with my customers in my shop, you with your sustainable styling clients, we live in a very sustainable fashion bubble.
Yes.
And over the last couple of weeks, we've sort of had reason to reach out of that bubble. And it's not great news, is it?
No.
It's sort of realising, I'm not saying we are perfect and no one else is. We are not perfect. But there's a lot of people who aren't even trying.
Yeah. And not even wanting to try.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We're going to try not to make it too much of a downer this week. But, Jo, you've had an epiphany on your sick bed. Do you want to tell us about that? Do you want to first tell me what you're wearing? We always start with what we're wearing and we completely forgot today.
Yeah.
I love your outfit today.
You know what? Thank you. And it's the first time I've dressed up since the workshop we did. And I have to say, it does really help you feel better. This is the crocheted skirt that I rented from you for Fashion Week, which is sad, but obviously I didn't get to wear it for Fashion Week, but I did get to wear it to my darling friend's 40th.
Good.
And I loved it, and I wore it with the organza puffy pale blue top that I also rented from you, and I felt like $1 million.
Oh, yeah. And it's sort of a grey silver skirt. So
yeah.
That would
look good. It was lovely. It was almost monochromey. It was like almost tonaling, you know.
Well, you're very tonal today.
Tonal again today.
Yeah.
So I've gone a gunmetal lurex turtleneck.
Love it.
Which is vintage. Maybe. I'm not sure where. You think 70s or is it?
Yeah.
I wear it a lot. And then I've got matching sock and silver shoes. So, a whole lot
great.
Of silver.
I love it.
And then I've broken it up with my vintage 80s oversized shoulder padded checked jacket. I always call this my nicely Johnson jacket. What about you? You're very black today.
Oh, well, I'm wearing a brand new outfit. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about how I do seasonal wardrobes and I change them over every 2 months. And yesterday was changeover day.
Fun!
So I'm enjoying all my new things that I haven't worn since last year.
So these are joppers.
They're stirrup pants.
I love.
They're
with a little houndstooth, very subtle.
Yeah, it's sort of like olive green and black, really tiny houndstooth, so you can't really see it unless you're close up. Yeah. And they've got like a pleat front, and they're quite like wide and tapered in.
Very high waisted.
Yeah, they're jumpers basically.
Yeah. I love that.
They're like vintage 80s country road.
Nice.
The top, actually, I got it at an op shop during the summer.
Yeah.
And it's like a short sleeve sweater. So
cute.
That away for
kind
the winter.
Kind of 50s style.
Yeah, so it does definitely feel new. And it's cream and black French striped.
Like Breton stripe.
Yeah, with black sequins on the stripes, which I really like. And this black sort of big coat cardi. It's basically a giant open black hoodie. Yeah. I did buy this new in Japan probably about 6 years ago. And just black and white Adidas sneakers that I've had for a billion years. Yeah. That's my outfit. Feels new, but it's not new.
Yeah, well, that's something we've discussed in other episodes, the whole secondary storage.
Your
and
wardrobe.
We stand by that. But yeah, I will tell you about my epiphany
now. Back to the epiphany.
Which is related. It's all related.
Yeah.
I've been shopping almost exclusively secondhand for quite a few years now. It's just second nature. But what I've actually realised is I am still a massive consumer. And that is a problem in itself, even though I'm consuming from a circular economy. The reason it's a problem is that I have the mindset of a consumer still.
Yeah.
And I I make lots of excuses for my consumption habits. Mm-hmm. And I've decided to do a shopping ban. And the reason is because I think if I can stop consuming for a really good kind of difficult amount of time, I think something will click, I hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's about trying to find a new mindset, which I know is there. I'm always dreaming about the next thing I can buy. You know, even if it's vintage, it's still that idea of, I always preach about trying to find the solutions in your own wardrobe rather than at the shops. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I always believe that, but it's like, no, but the only way I can really do that is to actually really stop shopping, like really stop shopping for a really long amount of time until it kind of hurts. I feel like that's the only way you can, you know, it's a full detox, I guess. So I've called it, it's going to be, it's all about me. It's not about, it's not about me telling you to do this.
No.
That's important to say. None of this is me judging whatever you're doing at all. It's just me dealing with my own problem and taking you along for the ride because I think it might be interesting.
Yeah.
It's going to be like, so a one woman campaign, and I'm calling it My Shit, My Problem.
I like it.
And the other, I guess, reason for coming up with it is, as you say, we've done a lot of research for this workshop that we ran recently, and I found out rather maybe too much about the whole post-consumer waste thing, and not even, like, just textile waste in general.
Yeah.
But certainly about how we as consumers, us people who go shopping, are so brainwashed into thinking that all these brands that are doing now take-back programs and all of these charity shops that allow you to donate things.
Mm. Companies that come and collect.
Yeah, stuff. There's companies that come and collect it. And they all use the word recycling.
Yeah.
The word recycling is being bandied about a little too much. And I think it's lulling us into a false sense of security that whatever we don't want, someone else can deal with.
Yeah, or that because we all probably first learned about recycling through recycled paper. Or recycling our aluminium cans. So whether we know it or not, we still sort of shorthand think that recycling clothes means old clothes will get turned into new clothes.
Yes.
But that cannot happen.
No. So it turns out actual recycling, which is basically it goes through a machine process. It's a very technically complex process. It's doable with pure cotton, but most blends, any kind of blends that include plastic, becomes very problematic. A big factor in this is that you need to know the exact makeup of a fabric in order for it to be processed properly and recycled properly.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. There are certain fabrics that maybe shouldn't even be in our wash cycle that would be preferable. Mm-hmm. If we're going to do this, it's preferable to get those out of the wash cycle. So recycling in itself, there's some interesting technology going around. I mentioned Bloctex. I've managed to find someone to talk to there. I've yet to do it. It's taken a while to get in touch.
I've been sick.
Yeah. But I'm interested in what they're doing. It sounds like they've got a grant organised for setting up a recycling plant in Queensland. I believe that Apparel are doing loads. They seem to be doing loads. But what I know is they're definitely doing a lot of SEO content, which means that when you Google recycling fabric or recycling textiles, Apparel almost takes up the first page.
Yeah.
Which just scares me. I don't know why, but any monopoly kind of scares me. But for all we know, they could be doing amazing things. And again, hard to get hold of the people.
Yeah.
And of course, they're all just going to say how great they are. And this is the whole thing with all the research I've done. It's been just that scary realization that, you know, I don't want to become a conspiracy theorist, but I easily could when it comes to textile waste.
It's fair enough. And the other thing to consider that, you know, you've looked into all these companies that say they recycle textiles and whatever. But what is the percentage of textiles actually even going to those companies? Maybe the technology does exist, but people aren't using it. They're throwing things in the bin.
Yeah, because it's... So according to Patagonia, Patagonia had a really interesting article on their website, and I definitely recommend you read it. I should try and remember to put it in the show notes.
Do it.
It was really good. It shows how... I mean, I really like them as a brand because, look, they're really big, a big brand, and any, like you've said in the past, any big brand, there's problems right there. It's really hard to not have problems as a big brand sustainably. Yeah. But they are really transparent about what they've tried to do from early on,
before
it was fashionable to be sustainable. But saying that all the problems that come with recycling, and the main one for businesses is it's not cost-effective.
Yeah, exactly.
It's much more cost-effective to use virgin cloth and make manufacture new things for reasons we won't go into. But that's why it's a big problem. And so the whole take back, all the take back schemes that say they're recycling, they are misusing the word recycling. So it look, as far as I could tell, about 1% of the Zara or H&M but fast fashion take back schemes, it sounds like about 1% of those are actually being recycled. But it's not even recycling, it's downcycling, which is turning them into rags. It's, and, you know, anything that's turned into rags is probably then going to be used once before it's bitten anyway.
That's true.
Yeah. So so that's that. And then the rest of it is, and Uniqlo have even said this on their website, as if it's a good thing. They say, oh, we started doing the recycling and we found that so many people were dropping off things that seemed wearable to us. So we thought that instead of recycling them, we'd send them to... the global south, to poorer countries who are in need of them. Well, if anyone has seen War on Waste or any of those recent shows about textile waste, they will know that they do not need our textile waste. They need wearable good clothes, but not the amount of bad unwearable clothes that we're sending. So
it's also hurting their economies because they're not producing clothes anymore.
Exactly. All the wonderful, like Ghana had a wonderful clothes manufacturing industry that has been completely ruined by the influx of Western, what they call dead white men's clothes. So, so yeah, recycling is not really a word you should believe, I guess.
Yeah, and I think donating's the same.
And donating's the same.
It's not donating. It's dumping. It's dumping.
Exactly.
It's burdening.
I mean, think about how you donate. I'll be honest, and I'll put my hand up and say, in the past, I have definitely put a whole load of things in a bin bag. Some of them are great. And some of them are, I wouldn't give to my worst enemy. I've done this in the past. I'm being completely transparent. Yeah. And often that bin bag then stays in the attic or in the garage for ages because I never have the time or whatever.
Yeah.
I think, you know, to drop it off.
And because the bag's too big to do it, it has to have its own trip.
That's right, exactly.
You can't just take it with you when you go to the post office.
You need to drive. And you need to say Knopf's is one of my favourite places. But there's no park outside the front of Knopf's in Marrickville. No. So you need to, it's a massive job, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I know what you're getting at with that. And I think I'm going to ask you about that later.
Okay.
Because, it's an alley thing, patented alley thing. This is what I've done in the past. And so that bag, it goes from bad to worse because it then starts getting musty and mouldy. And even if I did wash all the clothes, which I probably didn't.
Yeah.
And do you? I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you what I'm doing.
One bad apple will rot the whole barrel.
Yes.
That kind of thing. Everything becomes smelly.
Exactly. So, and then I've gone, oh, God damn, it's, you know, my mental health is more important than doing this properly. So I won't wash through the whole thing. I'm too busy for this. And I go and I feel a little bit guilty about it. So what I do, I put it up.
Do you put it in the clothing bins instead of in the shops?
I put it in the clothing bins instead of the shops at Marrickville Metro.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I go to Daiso and spend loads of money on plastic stuff. No, I'm kidding.
Some people probably do.
Yeah.
If you
recognise yourself in all of this, then don't feel guilty.
I go to Tempe Salvos because they just have dumpsters out the back.
Yeah.
They don't ask any questions. You just put it all in and pull up your car right there.
So that's why I decided that my shit, my problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm doing. And so all I think I've got to the end of 2023 of no shopping. That will give me plenty of time to basically go through all the stuff I have. Some of it is in a box that I was going to give to apparel. But I'm going to go through that one by one, bit by bit. Why do you think I should go through it one by one, Ali? You taught me this.
Well, like I said about we've all have the big bags that never end up going to the op shop because it requires a full job just to take the bag to the op shop. Whereas you probably, in the time it takes you to walk to actually get around to taking that big bag to the op shop, you've probably walked past the op shop maybe once a week. I don't know where your op shop is. Maybe you have coffee nearby. Maybe you go to the post office nearby. So it would be so much easier to get into the habit of dealing with things one by one as you take something off after a day and you go, this was so uncomfortable, I'm never wearing it again. Rather than put it into the big bag or start a new big bag, fold it up, put it in your handbag, and when you go up to the shops next time, take it in. They won't think you're weird. Just say, can I put this on? Where's your donation basket? Can I put this in?
If any of the stuff isn't perfectly clean or it has stains or holes, it's all going to end up in the Global South, which is basically another way of saying landfill. But like we said at the workshop, they don't even have the infrastructure for landfill. So it just ends up big, massive piles that they have to live amongst.
Yeah, mountains.
Mountains of clothes. So I'm going to go through that whole process of, okay, well, maybe I end up cutting that thing up into really small threads.
The really hard things you look at and you just go, okay, this is really only good as a cleaning rag. And I start a box of cloth cleaning rags.
Absolutely.
And we don't. And once I've got that box established, we don't buy Chuck's wipes or paper
Absolutely.
Towels or anything anymore.
The only way this is going to work is if it's not tokenistic. You know, you're downcycling. If you do downcycling yourself rather than giving those holy leggings to
a company to turn into rags.
Do it yourself. You just need a pair of fabric scissors, which I think everyone should own anyway, and just cut it up yourself. Maybe keep the elastic for plant ties.
Yeah.
Cut up the rest of it really small. You could either fill a cushion.
Yeah.
Or an ottoman. I mean, ottoman's good because it ends up being really heavy. I've tried to do it for a big floor cushion. It's such a heavy cushion.
Yeah, it is heavy, yeah.
Yeah. So you could do that, or I've made snakes. I have done all of this in the past. I mean, I'm not as bad as I make out. If you mix it with rice, you can make cool, like, snakes. We call them snakes in the UK, and if you call them
here.
Or, like you say, you could just turn them into cleaning rags. But if you're going to turn them into cleaning rags, you need to let your whole family know.
That's what you're using.
For me, my partner, he just bought, because we've just got a new electric car, and he just, first time we've ever got a new car, and he just bought a mass of, like, oh my God, cleaning, very specialized cleaning.
Chamois.
Chamois, and he was so proud, and he was
my first business was a car washing business with my brother and his friend.
You're kidding, that's so cool.
When
we were
11 or something. Yeah.
You never failed to surprise me. And so you know all about the chamois.
The clots are important, but clothes actually make quite a good supply.
I was going to ask, I've been trying to research that specifically because I think of those. I've got some microfiber undies that are really starting to look like they're depressing me now. Mm. Like, and I'm wondering, they look very similar to the microfiber cleaning cloths that we have.
Yeah.
Are they similar? I mean, it's hard to know
exactly. I'd have to give it a feel. Look, he's probably still going to want his good chamois for actually drying the car and getting it shiny.
He's already bought all this stuff. So what do we do now? I guess we just make that last forever.
Yeah, you make it last forever. And you say that's for when you need to get the finishing shine on your car. And these are the cut up old rags that you're going to use when you randomly see, like, you know.
Yeah, totally.
I don't care enough about cars to even finish that sentence.
I'm the same. I'm avoiding driving that car, which is so ridiculous. Now we're a two car family for a few more weeks, and it's just so, and then that in itself is so on eco.
Well, yeah, I have to say, since my parents got an electric car, my mum basically just doesn't drive anymore.
Oh my God, it is a little bit. I mean, it makes me feel like a boomer saying that, but it is a little bit like, I keep going down for the gear stick and it's not there, and I'm like, oh, it's in the crash if I keep doing that.
I foresee a new challenge in your future as a new owner of an electric car. You're going to be spending more time in shopping centres.
Why?
Because the shopping centres are really onto a good thing with their car chargers everywhere.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, it might just be that Paul has to do all of that.
When we used to sort of drop into the petrol station and get yourself a little treat, you're now going to a shopping centre to charge your car.
Oh, Jesus.
And spending an hour shopping.
Oh, my God.
Which, you know, obviously you can charge your car at home, but there will be times where, you're not at home.
They're clever. All of these companies are very clever
and
making us consume.
Shopping centres know that.
Anyway, I'm getting very, very random now. So finally, I think this is the last point I want to make with my little one woman campaign, is that I'm hoping that this will make me realise that buying something new to me, even if it's a $5 thing at an op shop, it's not about the money spent. It's about the expense of the time it will take you to, because very often I buy things with the idea to upcycle or to rework or whatever.
Yeah.
It's the time it will take you to get around to that. The clutter in your head of feeling guilty, it's on your to-do list for like years, and all the kind of clutter that makes in your mind, the mental clutter. It's the time it will take you going forward to maintain, you know, to keep clean, to deal with that stain, to deal with that hole. Anything that you buy, it's not just about that moment and the money that you put across. It's about how you're going to... Because my shit, my problem, once you own something, I believe that you should take that response as a responsibility. It's like when you own a pet.
Oh, God. Not this again.
Yes. I'm gonna use this analogy again because I think it makes sense.
For those who haven't
heard
it on various other episodes.
So, like, you buy a dog, but the time it takes you to look after the dog, the the things you have to do to keep the dog happy, to keep the dog healthy. And it's the same with clothes. It isn't the moment of exchanging money for clothing.
Yeah.
It's the aftermath of that. It's like, and now you own that piece of clothing. What are you going to do to ensure it stays out of landfill?
But well, the flaw in that thinking that I'm just going to point out straight away is, like with a dog and a new piece of clothing, in that moment you will convince yourself that you love it so much that you it will be no problem to look after it forever.
Oh, definitely.
Of course I'm going to walk and feed the dog every day, Mum, because I love dogs and I've wanted a dog my whole life. With the clothes, like, let's leave dogs there. But with the clothes, you also think, I love this. This is classic. This will last me forever. But think of the clothes, you know, like they're all waiting in a queue. When you buy one new thing, whatever's at the end of the queue, what are you doing with that?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're not thinking of the, like, well, you are, but as well as thinking of the thing you've just bought.
Yeah.
And will I look after this forever? Think of everything you got back at home.
Think of your oldest
thing. And think, this is just adding to more of that problem.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. That helps with the thinking.
Yeah.
But that's why I made it a shopping ban, as opposed to just trying to deal with what I've got, because I feel like I can't deal with what I've got until I stop getting more stuff.
Yeah. So do you have rules? Because
I do.
Last time I saw you, we were at an op shop and you'd newly declared that you weren't buying anything, but you hadn't set any rules yet. And you were in a bit of a tizzy over what counted and what didn't count.
Well, we went to an op shop as part of the workshop. And of course, there was loads of great things there. Luckily, they were all overpriced. Yeah, I wanted to buy fabric, didn't I, to make an outdoor cushion.
And you were very torn over whether that counted. And I said, this is why you need very strict rules. And I sent you my rules. Because, by the way, I'm also on a bit of a... I wouldn't call it a shopping ban.
Yours is ongoing.
It's controlled shopping.
Yeah.
Yeah, and because it's designed to go on forever. So it's
yours is a healthy eating plan, mine is a detox.
Yes, there you go. So I sent you my healthy eating plan rules and you adapted it for your detox.
I really did. So, like, I literally copied and pasted
it.
And then and you were like, oh, I like it. So no additional clothes, shoes, accessories or home textiles to and including December 2023. And that's including Christmas, because otherwise I feel like what's the bloody point?
Christmas is going to get tricky, and I feel like when you get closer, you need some Christmas rules. But
okay, in terms of the kids, only secondhand school uniforms, that's easy, and clothes, which is getting easier because I'm getting my older daughter more into Depop, and shoes, which is easier than you think, for both daughters, excepting undies for my older daughter, just because my younger daughter has all her hand-me-downs, so she's always fine.
Right, yeah. This one really surprised me. I was very surprised that you're including the girls in this too.
Yeah, well, only
it's
because...
It's a family detox.
Do you know why? Because I knew that would be my loophole.
Oh, like how you bought those sneakers for your daughter that fitted you as well.
Exactly, that kind of thing.
I remember you bought Doc Martens for your daughter.
Yes, for her school.
Thinking in mind that they would fit you and you could wear them.
Absolutely.
Loophole.
Yeah, no, loophole. We've got the same size feet, so I can't have these loopholes. Otherwise, again, what's the point?
Go on.
And another exception is if either daughter actually saves her own pocket money. And, you know, they both have means to earn extra money as well, which I'm always trying to encourage them to do because they really don't seem to want to. and they buy the new item for themselves, like the whole thing, not just like part. And also accepts, and this is important, that it will be hers to deal with after she no longer wants it. My older daughter is going through trends like so fast, and really frustrates me that she'll convince me to buy her something, and then just a month later I'll see it shoved right at the bottom of her wardrobe, and I know that means that she's had enough of it. Another exception is if I need to buy fabric to extend an already started upcycling project, just because I know I've got a lot of those. I've got a lot of half-made cushions and things like that. And if I want to use, like, say, old undies to fill whatever, like, and I just need a little bit of fabric just to make that possible.
Well, check with me first because I have a lot of fabric.
Oh, will do. And then for birthday and Christmas, I'm just going to let everybody know not to buy me anything.
Yeah.
Honestly, that will be fine. I'm fine with that. Yeah, I know you are too.
Yeah.
And also, there's this kind of ongoing jewellery repair project that I've had, which is trying to just deal with the beautiful heirlooms that I already own. Like, I've got this amazing ring that my grandma, who I was really close to, left for me.
Yeah.
And it's missing a diamond. Right. And I don't want to wear it because I'm really scared.
Oh, so you won't take clothes, but you'll take diamonds.
I'll take a diamond. Well, it's more like...
Loose diamonds only, please.
I mean, geez, it's kind of like, I quite like that concept. If you want to pay towards a diamond to replace a diamond that's missing in my grandma, I mean, there's nothing better than that in a way, is there?
Sure.
And then if I need more undies or socks, well, I will simply have to darn holes and fix elastic in the ones I have.
Yeah.
You'll see how right. I'm
you'll
really
be fine
trying...
till the end of the year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then shoes and clothes can be taken to the cobbler and the seamstress for fixing. This does not count as additional. That does not count as shopping.
No, that's fine.
And then this is totally copied from you. If I get smaller, I have plenty of smaller clothes to wear. If I get bigger, I can alter what I have. That's not really true for me.
Is that your Ali impersonation? What was that voice?
I think it was. It was I'm really together voice.
The other thing on sizing is, like, we can do this because both of us are the kind of people, we don't tend to fluctuate that much in size.
Yeah.
So I will just acknowledge that some people do fluctuate a lot due to health issues or whatever. And please don't deprive yourself of clothes that fit you.
Don't forget that I'm not telling anyone else to do this anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Right? So this that's why we have we can do this because we have plenty of clothes that fit.
And if anyone wanted to do something similar, they would make their own rules up.
Exactly.
Yeah. And leave your kids out if you want, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but it is good to include those conditions. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And it's good. It really makes you think about all of this. Being mindful is all part of
So maybe someone else's might be like, if I get bigger, I can buy and literally list out, like, three tops. This, like, make yourself so that you don't go, well, I'm off the wagon now, you know.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. And then I've said, for trends I want to take part in, I have to make or upcycle things.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen in the next 7 months. It's this rare where I'm just obsessed with the trend to the point where I want to buy something
new. That was another, you took that from one of my rules.
I took that from
you,
And if I get really frustrated with the shopping ban and I feel sorry for myself, I can rent something for a week, can't I, Ali?
Yes, you can.
Yeah. And then in January 2024, I can buy something worth up to $200 to celebrate myself. only secondhand, which is what I would do anyway, unless it's swimmers or undies, in which case I would find sustainable new, which we know a bunch of labels now that we've done that podcast. And that would be to mark my 7 month shopping ban. But if I make it beyond that, beyond January, and I'm like, you know what? I don't need anything additional to my wardrobe. I'm happy. Then every month that I go by without buying something additional, it goes up $50 per month. And the longer I wait, the better the reward. Okay, what are your rules, baby?
So mine, again, is more like I'm looking for a way, because I've tried various challenges and things before. I'm more like, okay, how can I put in some rules to keep going?
Make it sustainable.
Yeah, and so understanding that I cannot just stop buying clothes and never buy anything ever again, because as we've just gone through, there are random things that come up that mean you need clothes.
Also, you love fashion.
I do love fashion. Yeah. So I can buy myself a birthday present every year, and it'll always be vintage because I love vintage. Maybe it'll be like a special piece of jewellery or a bag or shoes that I've wanted, or if I just feel like doing an op shopping spree because I miss it, then I can set myself a $200 budget and go on an op shopping spree, and that's my birthday present. By then I'm hoping I'll be very mindful about what I choose. I can buy a couple of new pairs of socks and undies in winter from those sustainable brands. I can replace existing pairs of shoes as they wear out, but it would be preferable to get old ones repaired. So I think I have the right amount of shoes.
Yeah.
It's just sort of when my sneakers wear out, I get new sneakers. I've got a few pieces that are sort of more trendy and less functional. So it's like maybe I won't replace my sparkly flats with new sparkly flats. I'll replace them with whatever I feel like getting by that point. But I'll keep the same amount of shoes. I can get new swimmers this October and every 2 years after that. Do you think every 2 years? I can probably go longer. I don't swim that much.
Well, I guess it's giving you the option, isn't it? I think every 2 years
sounds that's what I like, giving myself little dates so that, like, when I think, oh, I do need new swimmers, then I know, okay, I can get some in October.
Yeah,
like,
no.
I have the right amount of activewear, so just like the shoes, I can replace worn-out pieces as I need to with the new ones from the sustainable brands that we found through that episode we did. If I get smaller, I have plenty of smaller clothes. If I get bigger, I can alter what I have or make new things. I'm okay with making new things because I have so much fabric existing.
And you can make things.
I can make things, yes. For trends, because I do like, I am influenced by trends, definitely.
Mm.
But if there's something that I can see is just a trend that I want to do and I'm like, there's nothing that I have, then I have to make something.
Yeah.
Or if I don't already have something that will work. So I can buy fabrics if I have a specific project in mind and I can make it within the next week. That's actually been a rule I've had for a long time because I have so many fabrics, and it's basically the reason I haven't bought fabrics in years, because my rule is, do you have time to make it this week? If not, don't buy it.
Brilliant. Because it shows you that it does work, though.
Oh, yeah, because I have a garage full of fabrics that I bought planning to make things years ago that I don't even like anymore.
Yeah.
I can accept gifts. Like,
Depends who's giving them.
I've just put that in as a rule, like, yes, I can get presents. For me personally, I prefer presents to be things like consumable.
Me too.
Food.
Chocolate.
Like, go out for a, yeah, food, wine, flowers.
Tequila.
Or an experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
Something that doesn't exist the next week.
I agree, all of those things.
Just makes a nice fuss of your birthday, and then you go. Yeah. If a friend or family member wants to go op shopping, I can get one thing. I don't have to, but I just don't want to be the party pooper of like, oh, well, I'll come with you, but I won't buy anything. Not saying you're being that party
pooper. I probably will be that in the next 7 months.
Yeah.
But at least with clients, it's unprofessional of me to buy, because I'm always struggling. Sometimes when the client leaves, I go back to the shop.
Do you?
Yeah.
Don't do that.
So I won't be doing that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, my reason for doing this was realising that I'd got into a habit because I own a vintage shop.
Yeah.
I'm always looking for the shop. And I think there's an op shop. I have to go in and check if there's anything there. And then I find good stuff for myself.
Yes.
So now it's just like, no, yes, it is part of my job, but only get things for the shop. If I'm on holidays, I can get one thing per week of the trip. And I already do this, but before going on holidays, I make a bit of a wish list of things to look out for.
Yeah,
if I'm doing a big Europe trip that's 2 months long, then yeah, I get to get quite a few things, lucky me. And then on April 1st, 2024, because I started this on April 1st this year, I can buy something as a reward and review the rules for the next year. So whether I make them more strict because I found it was actually quite easy to stick to, or maybe make allowances that I forgot to make allowances for.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's
brilliant.
That's my plan.
Well, I'll speak to you in April.
Yeah.
So here we go.
Since April, I bought a denim jacket when I was shopping with you.
Yeah, an op-shopped denim jacket.
Yeah, I got a skirt for Mother's Day, and I also bought a t-shirt op-shopping when we went.
Was the skirt Ruby Raisin?
Yeah, yeah.
It's all bloody sustainable and fabulous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's so many points in there where it's like, I can buy a new this, I can buy a new... When I say new, I mean new to me. It's almost always going to be vintage.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, it's like we've already kind of overcome that hurdle of consumerism, haven't we? A lot of people are still trying to like get there.
Yeah, which, exactly.
So I feel like we're doing all right, but
still. But it's still not dealing with the issue.
No.
We end up with a lot of stuff, and what are we going to do with it all?
Yeah.
So once again, we're not saying that you guys need to do that, but if you are, we'd love to hear what your rules are.
We're always interested in hearing about your own little challenges, and if that is a shopping ban specifically, then yeah, we'd love to hear the details.
Yes, so you can talk to us on Instagram. We are at Questioning Fashion Podcast. We've also put our email addresses in the show notes if you want to contact either of us.
Mm.
We do have a review on the Apple Podcast app that I don't think we've read yet. It's from a while ago, but I don't think we've read it. It says, Undies episode, so useful. What a great episode. So many brands I hadn't heard of or forgotten about, along with practical options and realism. So inspiring.
Okay, this one is an unofficial review, but she said I could read it out on the podcast, as in it was through Instagram DMs.
That's also welcome.
Yeah. I thoroughly enjoyed episodes 9 and 10. I'm 51 myself and have thought a lot about how my style will evolve. So I'm assuming that's the advanced style episode. I listened and re-listened to the episode to make notes of the style icons you mentioned.
That's the second time I've heard that.
That's nice. And will enjoy exploring. I'm also a small business owner.
Nine was the advanced style and 10 was the one with Mia from Ruby Raisin.
Fantastic. I'm also a small business owner and found myself saying yes many times through the episode. Both resonated with me. Also, I wanted to mention that there have been many times I have noticed the effort you are putting into your business with the understanding of how much drive that takes, and that I understand the feeling that perhaps it's not working, but I am so glad you're doing it. I'm proud of you.
Aww.
And this is she's an Instagram friend. And it looks like you and Ali are having so much fun. So thank you for listening. I hope it wasn't too depressing today. I don't think it was really in the end.
No, I don't think so. We're doing our best.
Yeah.
We're all doing our best.
Yeah, so get in touch, and we'll see you again next time.
Thanks, bye.